Welcome on campus to the Purple Project Podcast. On the menu, this podcast is all about the latest developments in Kansas State athletics. From football to basketball and everything else in between the college town of the Little Apple, it's the Purple Project Podcast. And now your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what's going on? Eddie Greer, host of the Purple Project Podcast, recording on the eve of the 127th edition of the Boston Marathon. This is the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State, on a Sunday night, April 16th, 2023. And man, this month has been going by fast already. We're already into the second half of the month, and plenty around the horn. What's going on in K-State Athletics here? This is episode 154 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly. If you're new to the show, welcome on board. Glad you found us. If you've been listening to us for a while since the fall semester or been kind of in and out, appreciate you for checking us out throughout the 2022-23 K-State Athletics schedule here. And boy, oh boy, lots to get into here, so we're going to get into it right now. Obviously, I'll do some house cleaning stuff in between, but we're gonna mess around too long. Let's get on into this thing. Time me on my co-host for the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. It's been kind of a while since it's been me and Eddie and Alex a discussion. None other than Alex Aiden, my co-host for this podcast. Alex, what's it going on?
Not too much, Eddie. I hope that everybody had a great Easter. Since I don't think we've been on since Easter together. I hope everybody had a good Easter a week ago. Same goes to you, Eddie, and you and your family. And also, I know that you had a good weekend this weekend in Kansas City. You were able to see your Braves thoroughly thump my Royals, my lifeless, dead Royals, into the ground. So I'm glad that you had a good time. I will go see those Royals. Saturday.
And you're cutting out a little bit. You're in and out a little bit.
Am I cutting in and out, Eddie? Am I better now?
Yeah, you sound better right now. Yeah, you sound better.
Okay. So, moral of what I just said, your Braves thump my Royals. You have good weekend watching your Braves thump my Royals. So now I go watch those Royals next weekend against the Angels. Hopefully, they're not so lifeless and dead when I see them play, because they do not look good right now. I will say that. But yeah, I'll see them next Saturday in Anaheim, and then I'll see them when they're here in San Diego in mid-May, which I'm sure that will be worse than the one in Anaheim. But yeah, Eddie, I hope everybody's doing well. We have a lot to get into on the K-State side of things. Obviously, men's baseball, it was wildly successful weekend, really wildly successful past week for them. And then football, spring practice wraps up. They're laying some new turf down, actually, I saw at the stadium. And then on the basketball side of things, recruiting's just on fire right now. Actually, recruiting's on fire on football and basketball, but basketball in particular. So lots of stuff to get into.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get into that right now. Starting off on my sheet with baseball here. Yeah, I did have a lot of fun last night, and I thought winter was over last night at the K. Apparently it was not. This weekend it was really cold. Today was also pretty decent as well. Pretty cold, windy out there as well. But yesterday, I was at the K yesterday, and we had a weather delay for about 2.5 hours there. So I was at the ballpark, got to the ballpark around 1, and then the cloudiness became, and then the rains came, and a little bit of hail as well. So you never know what you're going to get in the Midwest, baby. So I was at the ballpark at 1 o'clock until I did leave a tad early around the eighth inning. That's when the Braves put the stamp on the Royals in game two. So yeah, I wanted to get home. Because apparently a lot of blankets were sold at the K last night during the during the weather delay. Everybody was scrapping something. A lot of shout out to the Braves country. A lot of Braves fans showed out throughout the weekend as well. So I want to give them a shout. I know this is a K-State podcast, but Braves, they showed out. The fans out there showed out in Kansas City. But yeah, a lot of blankets were sold. And at that little store, I shouldn't say little, but the main apparel store for the Royals there as well. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun out there. I thought it would be a little later that the Braves played the Royals, but it came around a little earlier. So had at least
very early.
Yeah, so I at least had to get one. So with
I will say this though, Eddie. Today was K-State Day at the K. So to all of our K-Staters who did go out there, hey, there's your tie, Eddie. There's your tie. You know, Royals, Braves, and today was K-State at the K. So hopefully the K-Staters had a good time out there. Again, they would have seen a Royals loss, but it was more competitive than Saturday's game, and the weather was a little better, but it was still not great. Because you mentioned it, man, a line today. We'll get into this in the men's baseball game because it'll be direct correlation. But cold and windy. Holy smokes, was it windy? Gusts of what, like 25 miles an hour today?
Yep. And I lost my train of thought when you jumped in there. So hopefully I'll get it back. But yeah, K-State Day. Yep, today as we're sitting recording this. When this goes out tomorrow. K-State Day would have been yesterday, the Chorus Podcast. Yep. But yes, K-State Day, Will Howard, I think Cooper Beebe was there as well. I don't know anybody else showed up or not, but those two were featured on social media. So from what I was looking at throughout most of the day there. But it was K-State at the K. Yep, like my co-host Alex said as well. Braves brought the brooms to Kansas City there. KC there tied it. And then Vaughn Grissom there with the go-ahead in the top of the ninth there to win it. Speaking of brooms, K-State brought the brooms to Lawrence there against Kansas there. Like I said, they needed to sweep them, and they did. Yeah. K-State, how about this? K-State 21, KU 18 in Game 3, the finale there. And this reminds me of last year, Oklahoma, K-State, when they went back and forth. But this time, K-State on the right end of the score here. And story of this game, game three, they brought the long ball to Lawrence there. They hit a ton of home runs, K-State did. And K-State, 13-run second inning. Woo! Really set the tone. And then
clearly they needed it.
Yeah, because KU answered with 7 in the bottom of the third inning, then K-State tacked on 4 more runs, and then KU, back a little seesaw, back and forth, 3 runs, and then K-State added 1 in the fifth, and KU added 3 more in the sixth, nobody scored in the seventh, K-State scored 3 in the eighth, KU wanted to answer back with 4 in the bottom of the eighth inning, K-State didn't get nothing going in the top of the ninth, and staved off a come-from-behind effort from the Jayhawks there, as the Jayhawks scored 1 in the bottom of the ninth. Falls short, 21-18. K-State, 21-19-2. 21 runs, 19 hits, 2 errors there. KU did a lot worse. 18 runs, 17 hits, and 4 errors in the night of the day. Woof. Kyler Henney picks up his 3rd win of the year. And then Hunter Crichton for the Jayhawks picks up another loss for him. He goes to 500 on the year now, 3-3. And K-State now 24-14, Alex, on the year, 9-6 in conference play, and they shoot up in the standings as we're recording this right now. K-State now is sitting behind Texas, 2nd in the Big 12, as I'm looking at the standings right now. 2nd behind Texas right now. So K-State need to take care of business. And they did that there, and boy, they needed all those runs in the top of the second there. Well, it would have been a different story, but K-State, they brought the lumber to Lawrence this weekend.
They did, Eddie. They did. And with baseball, a few things we want to unpack here. Going back, the last time we talked was before they went in with their series against Texas. In fact, the last time we talked, I think they had lost 4 or 5. They just, I think, lost 6-1 at Nebraska. They're about to go down to Texas. And, you know, we talked about, hey, you know, what are expectations for the baseball team going forward here? And I said, you know, I'm not too concerned about the Texas series, but, you know, I really think that stretch after Texas is really important for them before they get into that tough Big 12 stretch at the end of the season. And, you know, they go down to Texas, they take one of three. The first game was really frustrating because K-State was up 5-1, and then they allowed Texas to score five runs in the seventh or eighth inning. I can't remember. It was late in that game. In part because PQ's left the starter out there who threw, like, well over 100 pitches and then got rocked and just didn't pull him. So that was really a frustrating loss to Texas on the road. But they bounced back. They bounced back. And we were able to come from behind and get a 6-5 win that second game. And then they do end up losing the third game, but they're able to get one. They're able to get one in Texas. Should have gotten two. They should have gotten two, but they were able to get one. Come home against Creighton, right? And they just smoke Creighton. They had a great performance against a good baseball team, won 10-0 in seven innings, and really got some mojo. So, you know, being able to go 2-2, I mean, that little four-game stretch going into KU, I thought was pretty big, especially with the way they beat Creighton. Just beating them, beating like a drum, was super, super impressive. And I believe that they snap Creighton still later on in the schedule, if I recall correctly. But
they do not. They do not. They swept Creighton.
Maybe this was their second.
They're done. They're down with Creighton. They swept.
They won 3-0. They won 3-0 at Creighton. So they're done. I lied to you. But they had a good year against Creighton. That's moral. Okay, they had a good year against Creighton. No, so they got the win against them. They go into Lawrence, and you mentioned it. It's a series that was one that you had to win. KU has been playing better baseball going in. They were 5-4 Big 12 play. I think their overall record is like 17-14 or something like that. So it was. Well, it's going to be easy, but K-State needed to win that series. And we talked about that last time we were on here. So for them to go in and sweep that series was just huge for them. And, you know, game one was a nail-biter, 5-4, was big time for them to get that. I mean, then they really had dominating wins in game two and three. I know that game three ended up being 21-18, but K-State was up 13-0 in the second inning. So I don't know if I would necessarily call it close. The closest they got was that final score of 21-18. But K-State was really dominant in game two and game three. After getting a close win in game one, I was able to catch. I didn't catch any of game one, but I caught part of game two, and I caught a good chunk of game three. And in game two, they really played good sound baseball. You know, they were able to pitch well, and they were able to get walks, Eddie. That was one of the things I noticed from them in this KU series, and it's something K-State's been good at this year. But, man, getting walks. So, I mean, I think they lead the Big 12 in walks this year. But they got two runs against KU late in that game on Saturday on walks, bases loaded walks, and that extends your lead. That's big. That's big time, being able to go up to the plate and have the patience to draw a walk. So I'm getting this today. In a game, yes, they got up 13-0, but look, it ended up being a three-run game. And K-State got a handful of runs off of either hit, batter, or walks. So showing that patience at the plate to be able to get those runs is huge. And it's something that K-State struggled with in the past under PQ. So to see them be able to do that and not be the team that's making the errors, but benefiting from another team making errors, that's big time for K-State. So today's game was completely wild, completely crazy. The wind was blowing out all game. We saw a lot of home runs because of it. We saw a lot of fielding misplays because of it, because it was really hard to know where the ball was going to go. And it was just really tough playing conditions. But K-State, especially for the defenders and the pitchers, but K-State found a way to have that huge second inning. And KU, to their credit, continued to push back, continued to fight and try to make some plays. But K-State was able to fend them off, and they got a huge sweep, which, as you mentioned, number one, first off, sweeping your rival, always a great thing. K-State went 5-1 against KU this year in football, basketball, and baseball. So, 5-1. How about that? That is dominance, Eddie. That is dominance on your rival. So, I love it. Love what K-State did to their rival. But outside of that, I'm looking at the Big 12. You mentioned K-State. They're in a situation where they're a game back of first right now. You know, 9-6 in Big 12 play. I mean, that's a big time. That's a big time stuff, Eddie. I mean, 24-14 and 9-6 in Big 12 play. I mean, they put themselves in a position to have like a legit shot at some meaningful postseason baseball. Like, that's a discussion that we can begin to have now. It really is, because they put themselves there despite the slow start, despite losing 2-3 on the road against Baylor, which is really tough to swallow. They've put themselves there. They had the four-game losing streak where they lost 4-5, but they bounced back and they've won 4 in a row. They didn't let it snowball, getting wins over Creighton and sweeping Kansas and being able to get one at Texas, who is a top 25 team. They put themselves in position. They put themselves in position. And we've talked about this, and, you know, just taking a quick peek ahead. But they need it because their schedule's tough, you know, down the stretch. You know, they come home against Wichita State, which, they should, in my opinion, be Wichita State. But Wichita State's not a bad team, so we'll see what happens there. And then they go on the road, 3 against UC Irvine. That's a good baseball team. I was taking a look at them, Eddie. They've got a good record this year. They're always tough on the road. UC Riverside, they do have one against them. They're not having a good year, so you'd have to feel good about that. But then you come home, and you've got a series against ranked Texas Tech. You got to go to Wichita State. You've got a ranked series, a series on the road against the ranked Oklahoma State team. You got a series against a ranked TCU team. So you got 3 series against ranked opponents coming up. And then you got 1 on the road against UC Irvine, who is a team that they may not be ranked right now, but they are a good baseball team. Really, the only things that you look at, Eddie, on the schedule and say that should be wins is a series at home against Southeast Missouri State. I mean, that's really the only thing that's left on the schedule that you're like, well, we should win that series. Like, well, we should win that. You look at Wichita State, and you feel like, well, they should win at least 1 of their 2 against Wichita State, if not both. But I'm in Riverside. They got the 1 against Riverside. But point being is that schedule really tightens up. So being able to go on the road against KU and get a sweep was huge because of what is waiting on that schedule. And it really starts when they, you know, go down there to, come down right into my neck of the woods here in Irvine, which is like an hour and a half from here. Come down to UC Irvine and tee it off with them. So huge for them to get this series win. And kudos to K-State. We talked about at the beginning of the year that Big 12 schedule, it's a little lighter at the beginning, and it's going to get tougher on the back half. So they've got to take advantage of that lighter schedule on the front half, and they have. They're 9-6. So they've put themselves in position to where now if they can go beat some of these ranked teams down the stretch, they could really be in a good spot. But, you know, we'll see what happens, Eddie. But you got to feel really good about where they're at right now.
And put a little touching notes here on K-State baseball here. This was the high-scoring game in this series history of the Dillon Sunflower Showdown when it comes to baseball there. 21-18 this afternoon in Lawrence. K-State sweeps the Kansas Jayhawks there. And this was the program's first road sweep over KU. So add that on top of that. There, as Kate is a drop, the Jayhawks now under 500 overall, 17-18, 5-7. KU now in the Big 12 there. The Cats now lead the all-time series 186-177, and a weird one tie for whatever reason.
No hitters this series, so well, we're in the clear. We're in the clear from the no-hitter 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, however many years ago that was.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. Yeah, that was really bad.
That was a low point. That was a low point in Pete Hughes' era.
Yep, and also we ought to highlight, this was K-State baseball. Who would have thought about this at the beginning of the preseason? K-State is the first team in the conference to reach 9 conference wins here, and that's over the conference leader, Texas. Texas is 8-4. There as well. We got to note that as well. But that's huge for K-State. 9-6, a game back, like Alex mentioned there as well. K-State is the only team also to have 5 Big 12 conference victories on the road. We have nailed that to the wall here on this podcast. If this team is going to play meaningful baseball like you talked about, they have to win on the road. We know what they are at Toyin Family Stadium. Yes, they've lost some weird games at Toyin this year, but they play tough.
Yeah.
But on the road, in the past, they haven't gotten it done. And here, so far in 2023, they've gotten it done, and they needed to sweep this team. Your rival, your hated rival, 45 minutes away from here, or 45 to an hour away from Manhattan anyways, and you get the job done. That's credit to Pete Hughes and what he's able to do. And now you look forward to trying to knock off your other rival from down south, Wichita State, which is going to be back here at Twin Family Stadium. That's going to be this Tuesday coming up, 6 p.m. Central Time, a little bit after first pitch there. And as well as another team coming into your building, but K-State Baseball, yeah, it seems like now I was kind of cautious on them. I wanted to wait a little bit, see how they're going to make the progress here after Tech series you're talking about.
Yeah.
And now we can start kind of rolling that dice here of meaningful baseball here down the stretch here.
Yeah, this is the most meaningful baseball that we have seen in the Pete Hughes era. I think it's safe to say going down the back half of the back stretch here, back nine, where he was a golf term. Kind of going in the back nine here, this is the most meaningful baseball that we've seen in the Pete Hughes era. And I was critical of Pete Hughes early on because they have some really bad losses. You mentioned it. They had that really good win against Stephen F. Austin where they were able to win four to begin. But they had some bad losses. They had some bad losses sprinkled in. They had that one against the 1-13 St. Thomas.
Yep, St. Thomas at home.
Against 1-13 St. Thomas at home. Woo! I mean, that was horrible. That was as bad as it gets, Eddie. I mean, that's just awful. They go losing 2-3 on the road to Baylor. I mean, that was really, really bad. And then heck, I mean, you could even make arguments that they should not have. They should have been more competitive in their little stretch where they had Lamar, Sam Houston, and in Iowa. They couldn't get one of those, but I won't be as critical there, but I will be critical on the Baylor series and the Stonehill, not the Stonehill, they beat Stonehill, the St. Thomas game that they lost. I will be critical on those. I'll be critical of those, and I'll be critical on, going on the road against the sub-500 Air Force team and giving up 18 runs in the game. I mean, this is now twice in games that they've given up 18 runs. That's not ideal. So I'll be critical about some of that stuff because there's some bad losses sprinkled in, and just some from just bad baseball. But there's also some really good ones sprinkled in. And so, again, was critical of Pete Hughes. I still do have some questions about him, but there's no doubt that they've made improvements and that this is a better baseball team. And this is probably the best baseball team that he's had since he's gotten to K-State. He deserves credit for that. And he deserves credit for them playing better baseball. For them playing more disciplined baseball. Pitching is not where it needs to be, nowhere near. But when they get their bats going, they can be dangerous. And when they're patient at the plate, they can be really dangerous. So that is there. You mentioned that they got to win on the road. They're 11-7 on the road this year. So, I mean, they're doing that. And that's the difference, right? That's the difference in the season is that, they're winning at home like they always do. They're 13-4 at home. So despite some bad losses, they are still 13-4 there. But they're 11-7 on the road. And, if you combine it with neutral field, which pretty much counts in this scenario, you're 11-10. So you are 0-3 in neutral field. But you're still over 500 when you're outside of Toy. Now, do I think that probably comes down a little bit by the end of the year, possibly when you look at their schedule and do they still have three at Oklahoma State. That's going to be a tough series. Again, one on the road against Wichita State, that's going to be tough. Three at Irvine, that's going to be tough. So I would say chances are that number may be lower once you wrap up the schedule, but they're winning much more on the road than they were in the past, and that really is the difference for them. They're 10 games over 500 right now. And they have really avoided any. I think this is one of probably the biggest key outside of winning on the road. They've avoided the long losing streak. They've had moments where they've lost four in a row, but I don't think that they've had a stretch where they've lost more than four. I think that's the furthest it's gotten. So they've dodged a long losing streak. They've been able to sprinkle in enough wins in there to put themselves in good position. And again, I'm really eager, Eddie, to see. The schedule tightens up. Can they win? Or are they going to are they going to struggle? Because, you know, they play a good West Virginia team, they'll lose 2 of 3. You know, they played a good Texas team, they lose 2 of 3. They played good teams in the non-con, in the Round Rock Classic, they got swept. So, they still, they're doing a lot better, right? And that's great. But when they have gone up against stiff competition, Eddie, they have really not won a lot this year, to be quite frank. And they have had an easier part of the Big 12 schedule. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Oklahoma's near the bottom. KU is near, is middle of the pack, near the bottom. Baylor's near the bottom. The only team that they have played that is near the top is Texas, and they won 1 of 3, you know, on the road. So they played an easier Big 12 schedule, and I'm not naive to that. So I'm curious to see what it looks like when you play 3 ranked Big 12 teams to end the season, because that's what you've got now. So that I'm really curious. But you were playing meaningful baseball. Getting back to what you said, I still am cautiously optimistic because of that, knowing that schedule. But I am optimistic because, again, 10 games above 500, and that's nothing to scoff at. And there definitely some good wins sprinkled in. And Eddie, I got to ask you, do you think there's any chance that this K-State team cracks into the top 25?
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
That's a very good question there, sir. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State. Another weekly edition, episode 154. Me and myself and Alex are K-State alums and also the Wildcat 919 student radio station alums as well. That is a tough question. I don't think so. Not
you
yet.
Think so?
I don't think so.
Not yet.
You gotta get some type of a long winning streak going. For them to crack the top 25, you gotta at least get on some type of long winning streak that you're just not winning two. You gotta win 4, 5, 6 in a row. Try to get on a long winning streak here. And if K-State does do that, then I can see them possibly getting in the back in the top 25. But right now, not yet for me. No.
Okay, I think that's fair. And the only reason I ask is because you see, there's some teams in Big 12 play that have similar records to K-State that are ranked. But at the same time, they play tougher schedules. So a good chunk of them. So you know that's also part of that equation. And I'm with you. I don't think we see them crack in the top 25. I don't think that's something that happens. I do think if they have a good Cali trip, if they do go on the road and they go, you know, so let's say hypothetically, Eddie, they beat Wichita State on Tuesday. Let's just for this hypothetical. They improved to 25-14. Let's say that they go on the road in their little Cali swing and they take 3 of 4. Against Irvine and Riverside, and then they come home for Tech. If that scenario happens, I think there's a possibility we potentially see a ranked K-State team. Well, actually, I think the rankings come out at the beginning of the week. So then, let's say that they do that, and then they win their series against Texas Tech at home, who's ranked 21st. So if you do something like that, then I think you're looking at a scenario where maybe you're playing maybe you have a ranked K-State at that point, but I'm with you. I still think they're a little ways out, and I also think that's a little unlikely that what I just said will happen, so I don't know if we'll see that, but I think that that's what it would take. I think that a good California swing, well, you know, I think they could do, let me reword this. So they actually, if they beat Wichita State and say they take 2 or 3 against Irvine, I think that could potentially put them in a spot to maybe be ranked. I think that's a possibility, because then I think, and then maybe going into Riverside that they're ranked. But I'm with you. I think they got to string something together. But it's interesting to think about because, again, you look at some of these schools like TCU and like Oklahoma State, and you see where they're sitting, and Texas Tech, and you're like, well, I mean, you know, K-State, I mean, they're hovering right around where they're at. But let's be honest, Eddie. Number one, K-State hasn't played those tough schedules. Some of those teams, and number two, K-State does not have the name recognition that those schools have. Texas Tech is a baseball power. TCU has been the last few years a baseball power. Oklahoma State is a baseball power. Like, those are teams that are good all the time, and they're going to, more likely that you're going to see teams like that ranked than a K-State who's not typically on the map when it comes to baseball. They've had their moments, but they've not consistently been there like some of those teams. So I think that that's probably part of it as well. But it'll be interesting. And, you know, it'll be interesting, Eddie, too, if they can string something together against those schools, kind of how people view K-State. You know, I think that a lot of people right now maybe view K-State still as like, you know, that's a good story, but, you know, we'll see. If they start winning these series against those squads, how does the perception of K-State change? That's something that would be interesting to see too. But I think for the first time, and I'll end it with this, Eddie. I think that this series against KU, just based on what I've seen and heard vaguely today, I think this series is what put a lot of people on notice that, oh wow, like, they're on a pretty good year. Because I saw some people tweeting about K-State baseball. I have not seen a tweet about K-State baseball this year, over this weekend, saying like, oh, the K-State's only a game and a half out of first, or, you know, hey, K-State just sweeped KU, or hey, K-State's 9-6 in conference play, or they're 10 games over 500. Like, I think people are, this is the series that kind of opened the eyes up to the season that they're having. Never haven't seen this much chatter about K-State baseball on Twitter in years, and it just makes you wonder kind of what things will be like. Because I think there's going to be more eyeballs on them now. I really do. So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, they keep winning. Yeah, a lot of eyeballs will be on K-State baseball. That's why the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State baseball. Yeah, we're talking about it right now. Real quick here, we need to transition to football, but Oklahoma State, Texas, I'm looking at the rankings. Texas Tech is 19th. I'm not sure if they're right or not, but this was the latest ones going into this past week. Now, TCU is 23rd ranked, but that's going to change into this week coming up. So that's what I have on that. But yep, K-State Nation, y'all, as I've been saying, if you've been paying attention to the baseball team, you've been listening to this podcast for a while. Yeah, the K-State baseball team is doing what it needs to do. Now, if they continue to win, now then a lot more eyeballs will be on this baseball team going forward here as they make that possible postseason push. But still a lot of baseball to be played. But right now, K-State baseball sitting second in the conference right now, thanks to its offense. And yes, the pitching needs to be a little bit better down the stretch. I do agree.
Yeah,
with that, if they're going to make any kind of noise trying to get in themselves to play past the Big 12 tournament, which they know K-State, when you get in there, K-State's a tough out. We've seen it the last couple years under Pete Hughes. Pete Hughes knows how to get his team ready for the Big 12 tournament, so we do know that for sure. Switching gears over to the football side, you mentioned, Alex, over the weekend, the last final spring practice took place over the weekend here in Manhattan, Kansas. But there was news dropped before that, and we haven't talked in a while, but the last time we talked as well, you went on a little bit of a rant about the assistants not getting enough money, not getting signed. Well, that changed. Colin Klein, this shout out to Kellis Robinette first, because I saw this first from him. So, Kellis Robinette, the longtime beat writer for K-State. Kansas State has finalized new contracts and raises for Colin Klein and Joe Klandeman. Of course, for those of you who don't know, Joe Klandeman, the defense coordinator, Colin Klein, returning back to the offensive coordinator after apparently looking at that Notre Dame job. But obviously, he's back here and getting some more money. I did read here and there about the information there. I'm not going to repeat the numbers on here just for privacy sake. Y'all interested in that? Y'all can find that on that article by Kellis there. But that huge. So finally, Gene Taylor decides to lock up your coordinators on both ends, Colin Klein and Joe Klandeman there, Alex. So does it put your mind at ease a little bit now that they've been locked up for a little bit?
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I think so. You know, I saw the Kellis piece. Yeah, won't give out any. Well, I mean, you can read it if you want to know, I suppose. But moral of the story is, if Colin hits all of his incentives, he's had the potential to be like, I think like third highest ranked office coordinator in the or third highest paid office coordinator in the Big 12 or something along those lines. And then I didn't see the same details on Klainer, but I would guess that it's probably a similar type of structure. So, you know, I think with the court, could Colin have gotten way more money at Notre Dame? Yeah. You know, we already know that the Notre Dame with the offer was on the table.
Yeah.
And he could have gotten way more money at Notre Dame than he was getting at K-State. The reality of the fact is K-State will never compete with a school like Notre Dame. You know, that's not going to happen. K-State's not going to compete with schools in the SEC. They're not going to compete with schools in the Big Ten when it comes to salaries. What it really comes down to is being able to compete in the Big 12. And having salaries that are top half of the Big 12. I really think that that's it. Because, look, K-State just doesn't have the resources that some of the other schools do. And some of the in the Big Ten and SEC, and that's fine. You know, that's just the reality of the situation. You don't have as much money coming in, so you're not going to have as much money to go out. But I think that given K-State kind of where they're at, yeah, you know, I think that this is important for them to do. And again, I thought it was most important that they had salaries that are competitive in the Big 12, and that's exactly what they are. That they're competitive Big 12 salaries. Do I think that? You know, these coaches are going to out-coach these salaries and get offers from teams that are in the Big Ten or SEC or some sort of power, probably. And we've already seen it with Colin Klein. We already saw that he got an offer from Notre Dame. I would assume if Joe Klainerman continues on his trajectory and K-State continues on the trajectory in football that I think that they will, then he'll probably get his opportunities as well at some point. And you know, guys like Van Malone, you got to think they may get their, you know, he may get a shot at some point to be head coach. I mean, so these things may come, and these will be more money, but you're never going to compete with those types of schools. It's about competing with the Big 12 and being in that top half of the Big 12. And K-State's done that. That's exactly what they've done with these salaries, is they put these coaches in the top half of the Big 12. And, you know, Eddie, I'll use this. I've used this metaphor before, but, you know, it's kind of, you want to feel valued, right, in what you do, in your job market. And it doesn't just apply to sports. I mean, you know, we can put our, this is one thing. We can't put our shoes in a lot of these athletes and coaches' shoes, Eddie, because it's just so out of something we would do. But this is a scenario we can, because we all work, right? We all work for a company. Yeah. We all know what it's like to work for a company. We all want to feel valued. And what we do. And if you're not getting paid a lot, if you're getting paid in the lower, you know, the bottom quarter percentile, you know, the bottom quarter percentile of people who do what you do, you're kind of be like, well, I wish my company, you know, they can tell me they love me all they want, but they're not showing it to me financially. Like, I don't feel, you know, I don't feel that. I don't feel the love. and it doesn't mean that they need to pay you a ton, but you want them to financially show you that they appreciate you instead of hearing it all the time. And I think the same thing applies to the coaches. And so, that you know, K-State can tell, oh, we love you all we want, but they're getting paid like their top, bottom of the Big 12. That doesn't make you feel much better. So being able to be more competitive and bring that salary up is something that's important, very important. And you want to keep this coaching staff together because K-State's got something really good going right now. And you want to keep that together as long as you can. Plus, they deserve it. You know, let's just take that. Let's just take that part out of it. You know, the football program is a good spot. They deserve it. They've earned it. They won a Big 12 title, Eddie. I mean, you know, you can't hit your performance markers much higher than that. I mean, you won a Big 12 title. They all deserve raises, absolutely, for the work that they did last year. And they're getting it. And, you know, they look at Colin Klein. They may not leave for those positions. It's absolutely possible, and we can also put ourselves in these shoes. Sometimes we may go chase the money. Sometimes we may turn down another organization because, you know, we are happy with with our company, and I've used this example as well, Eddie, but there's a scenario like a year and a half ago where an organization reached out to me and ended up giving me an offer, and it was more than my company, but they closed the gap, my company. They didn't match what the other company had, but they closed the gap, and it was enough to where I was like, you know, I like where I work, and I like the trajectory, and they're showing an investment in me that, you know, this is the right for me, even though I'm leaving some money on the table with this new opportunity that I could get. And so we all can, you know, approach these types of situations. This is everyday life stuff. And so, you know, you show these coaches this love financially, that's going to benefit you in the long term. And that's really the moral of that point, or really the where I was going with that point. So good for K-State, good for Gene Taylor, good for them to do that. Happy for Colin, happy for Joe, happy for the whole coaching staff that they got the financial bumps they deserve. Coach Kleiman, there we go, Coach Kleiman, he absolutely deserves a bump. I believe that is close, is what Gene said on Ask AD, is that they were close to, or maybe it wasn't Ask AD, he said somewhere they were close to a deal with him. I think it was, they were hammering out like years or something like that, but point being is we should probably hear something for him soon, which he deserves it as well. And then they get to work on that basketball staff, Betty, because that basketball staff is paid near the bottom of the Big 12 right now, and we saw what they did in year one. You want to keep that crew together as long as you can, I think that you need to turn your attention to that. Make sure that Jerome Tang and that staff is in town for as long as possible. So. Good start for Gene, but he's definitely got more work to go on the contract front.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
And also, two other things here real quick. Did see something on Avery Johnson. He looks a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit. Also been hearing he's been lighting things up on the ground as well, getting a lot quicker as well. So... he's trending in the right direction there. And from the article I read from Kellis, Ben Sinnott, Taylor Portier, Trayshawn Ward, trainer from FSU, and DJ Giddens were back towards that spring practice sessions, back on the field. So that's good, good sign for K-State Nation out there as well. So they started out, obviously, I know from listening to a podcast, our friends at Go Powercat, DJ Giddens was sidelined for a little bit there, so that was somewhat of a little bit of concern there as well. So they're getting back a little bit healthy as they get into the summer workouts there, and of course, Kobe Savage still recovering there as well. Gene Jackson was out, Brennan Mott was out for something as well. So, but on the other end of the spectrum, there you have your offensive guys getting healthy, for the exception of your two defensive players, Brennan Mott, who really came on, was kind of a surprise last year, to be honest with you there, filling in there on defensive end there for Nate Matlack there. He really stepped up last year, and of course, Kobe Savage with the knee injury last year that ended his season as well. So, but yeah, that's good to hear there that they're getting healthier. Of course, there's some key guys that I just mentioned still nursing some things there, but hopefully when you get through some workouts, I know we're recording this in the middle of April, the second half of the month here, so we still got quite a bit ways until August, but that's good to hear that K-State getting healthy. And they'll continue, hopefully, that trend into the summer. We'll have a lot of time to talk, obviously, deep dive into this roster, but things are trending in the right direction as far as health-wise goes.
Things are trending in the right direction from the health perspective, Eddie. And one thing you mentioned, Go Powercat, Tim Fitzgerald mentioned, and I can't remember if it was a podcast or if it was a walk and talk or what it was in, but he was somewhere. Where you mentioned, people don't realize how banged up K-State was in the season ended. Like, they were really banged up, and a lot of them had to have procedures to address it in the offseason. I mean, they were really, really, really banged up. after that Alabama game. Not that it was just from the Alabama game, just from the progression of the season, playing through things. So there were a lot of guys that were sidelined with injuries still coming into the spring because they were getting over procedures that they had done in the offseason. And that's still going on. So I would assume when we get to August that we will see the team is a little more healthy. But you mentioned there was really progress made throughout the spring because there was less losing guys and more gaining guys, put it that way, in the spring, which is always a good thing. So that was good to see. And it's important because, again, you look at this K-State team and kind of where they're trending. They're a team that I think is going to be competing for a Big 12 title again and in that competition. And, you know, got to be healthy to do it, Eddie. You got to be healthy to do it. So you've got to get healthy. And I think it's good for K-State to be cautious, obviously, in the spring. Yeah, it's time to experiment, try some new things. The players are a little banked up. No need to rush them. Let them go at their own speed. That's exactly what K-State's doing. Then when you get into August, you can kind of hit it full steam ahead. But that was good. And, Eddie, I think that just in general, just to kind of wrap up spring, based on everything that I read, heard, they really had a good spring. Like, really. It was a really, really encouraging spring for the Cats. And they got a lot of really good work done. It just sounds like, based on what I've heard from, not her personally, but what I've heard from Fitz and from, you know, the Go Power Cat crew and Derek Young and some of the K-State Online crew, that there's a lot of optimism around this football program right now going into this summer and then the next season, because, you know, this spring kind of, you know, some guys were maybe had a schedule a little bit, you know, and in some certain areas, or maybe some guys were popping that they didn't expect to be popping. And, you know, I think that this really, really created some optimism for them on, you know, kind of what they could be and going into this 2023 season. So there's a ton of optimism around the building. And you know, and I think the other thing that I notice is that they just carry themselves differently. This K-State team, this offseason, they have an offseason's past. They just, it's such a more workman's-like type of mentality. They seem much more relaxed, much more just get in and doing work and getting out. And just, they've been there, they've done that. They've just got that, like, quiet confidence that a champion has. And it's something that hasn't been there in the past. And it's somebody just seeing it from afar and then hearing a few rumblings about it, and then a lot of optimism that came from the spring. You can't help but just love the attitude and mentality that this football program's got. Like, they've got, like, that championship mentality, like, that's a thing, and they've still got it. Like, they've still got that from that Big 12 title. And you just listen to them talk, and you just look at the way they walk, and you just look at the way they practice, and the way that they go about their business. It's with some quiet swagger, Eddie. It really is, and you just saw it through the spring, and you saw it when they made it out in appearances. You can see it on social media. You can see it from just the reports that are being made from those who are on the inside for spring ball. So, again, you know, you don't want to get too excited in the spring about anything, because there's so much time, as you mentioned, from spring to August, and then spring to opening kickoff, but you got to be feeling good. Again, I think this team is ahead of schedule, and that's an exciting thing as a fan.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So the defending Big 12 champs coming off of the Big 12 championship last year, the K-State Wildcats on the football side there will begin their defense later on this fall. Eddie Greer, Alex in the Purple Project Podcast, weekly episode 154 continues here. Let's see. Yeah, checking in real quick before we get to basketball quickly here. Soccer has been in action with a little spring soccer here. I don't have the results right now, but they did play Washburn. A little doubleheader, I believe. there, if I'm not mistaken here. Washburn, and then they play Newman here as we're recording this on the 16th of April. That's what it says. So I'm going to see him that. I don't have the results yet, but when I do, there will be dailies on those games there as well. So yeah, the soccer team has been kind of busy getting themselves going in the spring. So that's what we have not talked about here in the last couple of months there. And they actually had three opponents there, as I'm looking at it here. They had also Cali Community College on that same plan as well. So busy for them. Of course, Tuesday, baseball. We already mentioned that here on the top of the podcast here. Wichita State coming to Manhattan here. That'll be a big game, 6 Central Time. I already mentioned that. Then tennis there. Tennis has been on a struggle bus this year, but there have been some highlights individually. But they have. It's been kind of a struggle for women's tennis here. Their next match is against Baylor on Thursday. That's at 10 a.m. That's a home match here in Manhattan. The last time they're on the court, K-State lost to 18th ranked Oklahoma State there. So again, K-State women's tennis trying to improve as the season kind of nears there as well. Track and field, they were busy this weekend with the Mount SAC relays. Shout out to Hannah Stewart for winning the steeplechase over the weekend as well. So that's on the track and field side. And of course, women's rowing, they're going to be traveling to Tennessee for the Sierra Championships for them coming up here. Let me see the dates here real quick when they get them up here. Yeah, actually that happened this weekend as well. So once I get all that straightened out, there will be dailies on those. But yep, there's other things going on with spring football in the books now for K-State. A lot of other things going around this university. This is why the Pearl Project podcast was created as well. So rowing got done. So that I'll have to get the information on that, and I'll give you the dailies on those. Soccer, 3 opponents today apparently. I don't have information on that right at this moment. Track and field has been busy with the Mount SAC relays. And so, yeah, literally going around the horn, K-State volleyball. If you listen to today's daily, added a big piece on the staff side. New coach Jason Mansfield continuing to piece it together, his staff, for his upcoming first year here in Manhattan, Kansas. So a lot of stuff happening in Manhattan, Kansas, as we start to approach the end of April already. So a lot going on here at K-State University here in Manhattan, Kansas there as well. Moving on now to basketball. And yes, huge week, as Alex mentioned, we talked off air before I hit the record button, but a huge week for K-State across the board as far as recruits go. Derek Young, part of that 3-Mile crew of the podcast, of the 3-Mile pod. Amos, whatever. It's a 6-foot point.
I'm not sure. All I know is the B is silent. I don't know anything beyond that. I can't quite get it down.
Well, we're going to go with Max Amos for the sake of the spot for the podcast here.
Yes, I think that's fair.
Or Roberts. He's supposed to be making a Manhattan visit here this week. And according to our friends at Exit 313, it'll be a huge pickup for K-State. That would probably more than likely replace Marquise Noel in a big time way there, as Jerome Tang and his staff are trying to make some waves in the transfer portal. We talked about it here and there, but just looking at this recent transfer portal person here, Max Amos here from Oral Roberts, that'll be big for K-State to land him. And on the football side of things, let's see. Yeah, Michael Baganokowski or whatever. I'm out of butcher's last name. I apologize for that. Who is rated the top high school football prospect in Kansas. Have you heard that before, folks? Also visited K-State yesterday, apparently, to watch K-State football wrap up spring practice. Baganokowski is Junction City. He's currently going to Junction City, and he's also a military brat there. So interesting there as well. So that's huge. And apparently, he did visit there yesterday as well. That's the information what I have here from Exit 313. And then, of course, oh, man. Another point guard is supposed to be making a trip here. But the last name of, looks like it's, I got Castile, but the first name I got is blocked off. So that's an error on the host of the podcast there. He's from
David Castile.
David Castile. Yep. He's also a point guard from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. He's going to be making his, he's supposed to be committed to K-State. Was that what you talked about there?
He is making his decision on, I think it's the 18th, if I recall. K-State is the predicted landing spot for him.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
If he does not commit on Tuesday to K-State.
Okay, so right now it looks like they really want to address that point guard position since obviously Marquise Noel is getting ready for the NBA draft. And speaking of Marquise Noel, were in Wichita area today. Marquise Noel was signing, taking pictures at the Wichita State campus. So I made an announcement on that it came out yesterday morning. So Marquise Noel had himself a big day. As we're sitting here getting close to wrapping up this podcast, Marquise Noel, K-State legend, took his time today to sign autographs, take pictures with the fans. So hopefully I don't know how turnout went, because I wasn't there. I was down in Wichita, So Marquise Noel had to get that out there, because as we're sitting in the course podcast, it was Marquise Noel Day down there at Wichita State as far as a meet and greet. Yes, meet and greet for Marquise Noel. Yeah, so there's that as well. Kind of want to throw that bone out there. But Alex, looks like the point guard position is kind of on top of the list, obviously, for the K-State basketball staff, led by, of course, Jerome Tang and company there. And let's see, obviously, the Kiata, and I think I got caught up with the Power Cat podcast, and they're talking about, obviously, I'm assuming Keontae is leaving. So I already assumed that, but they were talking about possibly him coming back, but I don't see that happening there.
If he did, sign me up if he does.
I mean, I'm all for another.
I won't complain if he comes back one more year, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'll be all for it, but my mind was already like, look, he gave us a heck of a run the first year there. Wish I could have him for another year, but hey, I mean, you're ready, your name's called, you're ready, you're rock and roll. So Keontae's there. Obviously, I touched on.
Weird. He has not made an announcement. Isn't that weird that he's not made an announcement yet?
Yeah, see,
NBA? That is weird.
Yeah, see, I heard that on that exact same episode. I'm like, huh? Like, what's going on? So we might have to keep a close eye on that. I also mentioned on this podcast last time on the podcast of a Naquan Tomlin as well. He was getting further evaluation from NBA teams and stuff like that. So again, I have to remind y'all, he still haven't made his decision as well, but I'm in the camp that he returns for another year of seasonal growth there. I would hate it that he goes to the NBA a little too early. So that's just my 2 cents worth on that, though. So
it's 4 cents worth, because I agree 100%.
All right, there we go. We got 4 cents in the bucket, folks. And I'm pretty sure we haven't heard anything as far as other transfer outs go besides Ish. So that's at least good for right now. So point guard is the emphasis there, and obviously you want another probably four as well. So what do you think so far about the news there about Max Amos there from Oral Roberts there? Obviously, I seen bits and pieces of him, so I don't know too much about him, to be honest with him with you there. But these will be some big gets, obviously, if K-State can close the deal here on what has been from my perspective, they're piecing together a roster that had two players back from the final year of Bruce Weber, right? So these guys already proven to us already in, after 1 year, Alex, 1 year, putting together the right pieces to make a deep NCAA tournament run.
Yeah, definitely. Looking at the team, we know that, again, a lot of guys leaving the team. Ish is the only one that's announced transfer out, but you've got three freshmen coming in. You got Day-Day Ames, RJ Jones, and then Malachi Rich. And those three are going to come in, and those are three four-stars.
Those are three top 150
guys, right? Those are good guys. And then RJ Jones and Day-Day Ames are top 100 guys. In fact, I think Day-Day is close to a top 50. I think he's just outside the top 50. But Day-Day is your point guard, right? Right now, if the season began tomorrow, Day-Day would be your point guard and your starting point guard. So one thing we've heard Drum Tank talk about is, you want to stay old, right? You want to stay old. Teams that win the last game of the year are, to do that, you gotta be old, right? You can't be relying on a bunch of young guys. And I don't think they want a freshman running the point and starting a point. I really don't think they want to do it. I don't think that that's an indictment on Day-Day Ames. Like, Day-Day Ames is a really good player. I think he's going to be fantastic. But I don't think they want him starting a Big 12 play as a freshman at point guard. And I totally understand that. So I think that that's high on their list. And I think guards in general, Eddie, are just high on the list with you losing Keese. Desi's out. Really, what you got coming back is Cam Carter, and he's really wasn't a consistent scorer. So you want some scoring, and you want some guard play, and particularly at the point guard position. So Max Amos, he's ranked as the second best transfer that has been announced in the transfer portal this year, and he's averaged 22 points this last season at Oral Roberts, and he's averaged over 20 points a game the last three seasons at Oral Roberts. So he's got a lot of experience. He'll be a fifth-year senior. He's got scored a lot of points. So he is perfect for what K-State is looking for. And first off, the fact that K-State's even in the running for a player like him is tremendous. Ultimately what he decides to do, Eddie, I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of interest in Texas from him in his camp, as well as K-State. So I've seen on three is predicted, they're not predicting, but they have the likelihood really high that he goes to K-State. And then 24/7 Sports has it predicted that he's going to go to Texas. I saw one article that said that, they thought K-State was getting momentum, and then I saw an Athletic article that said they thought Texas was in the lead for him. So I don't know who is in the lead to get Max Amos and his services, but it seems like it very well may come down to K-State, Texas for him. K-State and Texas for him, and it will be interesting to see what comes there. But the biggest thing for K-State is to get him on campus, because we've heard Maddie talk about this when she's on the pod before. We've heard coaches talk about this. We want to get him on campus, because once we get him on campus, we can sell it. Like, we know we've got something good to sell once we get them here. What we need to do is get them there. Like, that is what is one of the most difficult things. Actually, it's difficult, but that's really the bigger hurdle. They're not worried about selling what they have. They're confident in what they have, that they got something really good to sell once they get them there. So they got him there, and they were able to make the pitch. Will it be enough? Who knows? But the fact that you got him there is a big deal, and would be a huge, huge add if they could get him. He could run the point, and Day-Day could be your backup point. That would be enormous for the Cats. You'd be in a great position, Eddie, at point guard, if that is indeed how it played out. Aaron Estrada is another player that is getting a lot of buzz. He is also a guard. He averaged 20 points this last season at Hofstra, and he's in the top 10 of transfers. I think he's lower on the top 10 list, but he's still in the top 10. And K-State's in his Final Four. So, again, what's the likelihood of him coming to K-State? I don't know. There's some buzz around Cincinnati. There's some buzz around Alabama with him. But K-State's going hard after him. Derek Young's already reported that, but K-State's making a hard push for Estrada, who averaged 20.2 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 4.3 assists a game last year while shooting 48% from the field, which is pretty damn good. So they're pushing hard. They're pushing hard for Estrada, too. So it'll be interesting. He's going to come in on the 29th, Estrada. He's already announced that. So you don't have to wait a couple more weeks to hear what he says. But we'll see what Max Amos decides. But it'll also be interesting to see, you know, if one of them commits, does another one cool off because they, you know, K-State would be in a position there. But I'll say this, Eddie. I think that K-State could have both of them. If they did, and I don't think both of them will commit, but I think they could. I think K-State could make it work. I really do. It's kind of like when we had the discussion about Marquise and Nigel. Could they have made that work? I think they could have made Marquise and Nigel work. They're too good not to make it work. Same thing here. If you get two guys to both average over 20 points a game last year, you can make it work, Eddie. You can make that work. So, especially with Estrada, he's like 6'3". He's a taller guard. You definitely can do something there, even though Max Amos is below 6 foot. But hey, K-State's got a thing with small guards, Eddie. That's not a problem. That's not a small problem. It's not a problem if you got a small point guard at K-State. So that's a good pitch, good pitching, or good sell, I should say, to Max Amos. But the final one that you mentioned was Castillo, David Castillo. He's a 5-star. I think he's ranked 20th in the country in the 2024 recruiting class. So not this upcoming season, but the year after. And he's announcing on Tuesday. And it's between K-State, KU, and Oklahoma State, I believe. And all indications are that he is going to be picking the Cats. 6 predictions have been made on 24/7, including Ryan Gilbert at Go Power Cat. All 6 have him going to the Cats. Ryan Gilbert put it at his confidence level high on there. And he does not miss very often on his predictions. So think it is pretty safe to say, barring a last-second change, that David Castillo will be committing to the Cats and will be their first 5-star recruit in over 10 years to come in, which is wild. To land a 5-star and to win it against KU, that's something else. So that's massive. And again, that's 2024, but you know what? That doesn't make it any less big. You know, that's a huge deal. And then, you know, we were just talking about, you know, say you get Amos, he would be a 5th-year senior, so he would be graduating, and then Day-Day would be a sophomore going into 2024, and then you'd have Castillo coming in as a freshman. Then you would have Day-Day and Castillo at your point guard, and you probably don't have to worry about that in the transfer portal. So it really sets you up at a good position if you can kind of put that puzzle piece together there. So we'll be interested to see that, you know, they're going after some other guys too, Eddie. They need to get some bigs. We'll see what happens. We know Jerome Tang was clear in his last press conference. He wants a true big. I don't think he was satisfied with what they had last year. So it'll be interesting. I know that they've gone after a couple bigs, and they have struck out on a couple that they've been interested in, but there's still plenty available. And there's going to be another wave too. That's another thing, is that there's more players that are going to enter the portal. But you know, they still need to get a big, and they still need to, there's still a possibility. I've heard some rumblings that there might be another cat that will transfer out. So you might have another spot open up, and then you have to go get 4 transfers. I don't know who that player would be. I don't know kind of what that would look like. And then you mentioned, you know, with Keontae, we're assuming he's gone. But he hasn't made an announcement. So, I mean, I'm guessing that he's still gone. But if he decided to come back, I don't think anyone would complain. But I would not get my hopes up. I definitely say that's K-State Nation. I am fully operating under the impression that he is not a Wildcat anymore. And if for some reason I log on to Twitter, Eddie, and I see a note that he says I'm coming back, that will just be a very pleasant surprise for me that day. That's how I will proceed with that. But you mentioned Naquan too. He is testing them via draft waters. I don't think that I don't think he will end up actually acting on any of that. You know, I know Jerome Tang encouraged him to do it, to get some advice back from NBA teams, and I'm guessing that you know, he'll get some good advice that he can implement. And he's so raw. He's just so raw that another year of Big 12 play is just going to be so important. He needs to get stronger. He needs to get better. I think we talked about this last podcast, but he needs to get better at his two-point jumper. You know, he's so good. You know, if he can polish that three up and he can get just like a mid-range jumper and get stronger, his game's got a whole different level. So if he can get that and develop some of those pieces going into this final year, and then just some of the fundamentals that he's missing in his game, I see his draft stock is just going to skyrocket. So I really think that he will benefit from coming back. But got to feel good, Eddie. Got to feel good about where they're at. Yeah, they did miss on some guys in the portal. They missed on LJ Cryer. They missed on one that landed at West Virginia today. But it's really early, and you know, they're still getting some traction from some of the top players. So no reason to panic. I've seen a couple K-State fans panicking. Look, I trust Trump Tang and his staff. You know, I trust him to go out and get the right guys for K-State, and so, you know, we'll see what happens. Feeling good about them, and also feeling good, Eddie. I'll just throw this nugget out. I don't know who the recruit was. I'm going to be 100% honest, but I did see this past weekend K-State football posted a top 100 recruit in the, was it 2024 or 2025 class? It was a top player in the state of Kansas. It might have been the 2025 class, or I can't remember which one, but either way, it was the top recruit in the state of Kansas for either 2024 or 2025, who is a top 100 recruit in their recruiting class. So, recruiting's a fire, Eddie. There's a fire at K-State. You gotta love it.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yep, definitely. Yep, a lot, like I said, lots going on with recruiting, and we'll definitely keep a close eye on everything as we go into a new week here in the month of April. The Purple Project Podcast here as we're about to close out another podcast episode, weekly edition. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. All right, folks. Alex, we got the NBA playoffs going on here quickly here before we wrap things up here, obviously. I just want to focus on the West real quick before recording this podcast, before hitting the record button, watching a thriller with the Clippers taking the Phoenix Suns down in game one, 115-110. The other West game, Lakers take down Memphis Grizzlies there. With Ja getting hurt again, 128-112. And right now, this game's going on. When this podcast comes out, we're going to know the outcome of this game. Denver leads by 11 as they just started the third quarter over the Timberwolves, who got in that last seed. And the Nuggets again, or one seed as well. So I know I'm leaving the matchup out of the equation right now, but to the West. Oh, yep, the Warriors lost to the Kings last night. The Kings making a statement there in that game. That was big for those guys to get that win. Of course, Warriors, folks, already defending world champions, oh, by the way. So that's huge for Sacramento. But obviously, the West is heavy, heavy loaded on the back end. Lakers, especially them. Let's see, the Timberwolves, the last team down there. Warriors at 6, Clippers taking down the Suns in game 1. There's a lot going on that West side, and I just wanted to mention that real quick before we sign off there. What do you think of the Western Conference playoffs so far after when this game gets done a weekend?
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I think that my first take was there's a handful of good storylines going into the Western Conference first round. Warriors-Kings, that was the one, there were a lot of good matchups. Warriors-Kings, that was what I was really interested to see. The Kings have not been in the playoffs in 17 years, and then they get their first playoff appearance. It's at home. It's against the Warriors, who are not far from Sacramento. in San Francisco. And I was really interested to see. You got the world champs against a team who hasn't been in the playoffs in 17 years. How's this gonna go? And the Kings won a dramatic game. It was a fantastic game last night. I caught a good chunk of it last night on ABC. And it was a great game. It was really a great game. It was really, I was happy for it was good stuff, Eddie, man. Just seeing the buzz around Sacramento, you could just feel it through your TV, man. And when they got that win, and seeing them light the beam at the end of the game, like, you just couldn't help but feel great for that fan base. That's what sports is about. That's really what sports is about, and it's moments like that. So, super happy for them. Again, what happens in that series, we'll see. It's going to be a great series, I would feel. I feel like it's going to be a long series. Those are two good teams. With what we saw today, Grizzlies-Lakers is really intriguing because the Grizzlies got the biggest mouths of anyone in the NBA, I got to tell you. And then they're going up against the Lakers, who might be the most hated team in the NBA. And that is just a very intriguing matchup all in all. LeBron James, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks doing what he does, Anthony Davis, Jaren Jackson. I mean, you got some good star power in that series. So you got to be excited about that. And you mentioned the Lakers, they go on the road and they beat the Grizzlies and in game one by 16 points. Ja gets hurt. And it's going to be really interesting to see if the Warriors can back up all that trash talk, because last year they couldn't. Can they do it this year? Or is LeBron going to make one more playoff push? It's interesting. Interesting storylines there. Again, I think that's another series that's probably going to go pretty deep. I don't think it's going to be a 4 or 5-game series. I think it'll go pretty deep, depending on Ja's health. But I do think that. And then Clippers-Suns. I think we both were watching that probably before we jumped on the pod here tonight. That was a great game. That was another great game. And the Clippers are without Paul George for this first round. And I know that some people were talking about this being a good series, and I wasn't seeing it. I thought, I think the Suns with Kevin Durant, and I think that they, and Devin Booker, I think that they'll take care of the Clippers pretty easily without Paul George. And that was not the case. That was not the case indeed. Kawhi Leonard said, screw this, I'm going to put up 38 points, and I'm just going to be completely dominant, and they're not going to have an answer for me. And they didn't, and the Clippers went on the road and won game one. So that was a very dramatic game. What will be interesting to see can the Clippers replicate that? Can they do that for 4 games? I don't know. I still have a feeling that the Suns will figure that out, the recipe without Paul George, but we'll see. We'll see. So, they did choke against the Mavericks last year. And what a choke job that was. Holy smokes. In that game 7 last year, I'll never forget that. They lost by like 50 or something. So that'll be interesting to see. But I don't know. That series I'm a little more unsure on. And then the one I am pretty sure on is Nuggets Timberwolves. You mentioned they're playing right now. Nuggets are in control. Nuggets are really good, Eddie. The Timberwolves are kind of a mess. They're fighting on the sidelines, throwing punches, calling each other names while they're hurt. And they got in with the play-in, but I think the Nuggets will take care of them pretty easily. So it's going to be fun, though. It's going to be fun. There's always good storylines. And I think the best part of this NBA playoff schedule, Eddie, is that, for the longest time in the NBA, who's going to win the championship or who's going to be the finals. But this year, that is not the case. Everything really feels pretty open in the NBA. And that's really, really a pretty neat thing. So we'll see what happens. And especially in the East, I think Jaylen Brown got hurt yesterday. Giannis got hurt today. We mentioned Ja getting hurt today. I mean, there's some injuries. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, we'll take a look at the East next week on the pod as well. Yeah, a lot of injuries popping up here in the first weekend of the playoffs, so we'll have to keep an eye on there as well. And yes, real quick, yeah, the Clippers and Phoenix, I was watching that game, and I was waiting till that game was in hand before hopping on the pod here, because that was a tremendous game. Back and forth, punch.
It was a great game,
great game. heavyweight battle there, and Kawhi Leonard, made some big plays, like he always does there, and man, he can go off at any point in the game as well. So, yeah, Phoenix, we'll see if they can make the right adjustments moving forward, as this could be a last opportunity to make any kind of run back if they could get back to the NBA Finals. So, it's going to be a tough road for any of those teams, really. But Phoenix, especially them, making that trade, getting KD,
oh, yeah,
to pair up with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people, I've been seeing this as well with the Warriors. The Warriors could be it's been coming up on my Twitter feed as well. Somebody mentioned it that this could be the Warriors' last chance, last run, try to make a last run at the title. But,
yeah,
as well. So, with what's going on there, Phoenix, what you going to do with KD? Can you make a run back to the NBA Finals? We'll have to see. We'll have to see. And they're not off to a good start. Losing it's only one game, but you lost the first game there. It's Clippers get home field advantage there. So, man, it's just so many storylines to go. It's going to be interesting to watch going into this weekend, and we'll definitely come back to this and then kind of look at the East on the next podcast there for sure there. Yeah, Tyler Hero apparently broke his hand. I was watching that game as well. Giannis went out, like you mentioned there as well. So, yeah, injuries coming up in the most crucial point of the season, the NBA playoffs. It's going to be something.
Yeah, and here's one for you to chew on, Eddie, and you can report back to me next week on this when we talk about the East. But the Iron reports that Trae Young, the Hawks may be open to trading him this offseason. So the Hawks are in the playoffs right now, so this is not something that, you know, probably is top of mind for anyone right now. But I have heard multiple reports that they would be open to trading Trae Young in the offseason. So you chew on that, Eddie, and next week we can talk about how you feel about potentially dealing Trae Young. Because I've heard a handful of thoughts on this. And I've heard some people say they definitely should, and some people say no, they definitely shouldn't.
So, I got something for you on that one. I got something for you. I'm going to save it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you on that one. Yeah, I'm going to save it for the pod.
You save that, Eddie. There's a tease for next week.
Yep, you teed it up. You brought it up. You brought it up. So, yep, I'm gonna tee it up right there.
I did. It's been a hot time. Yeah, hey man. It's an interesting thought, you know.
Yep. So we'll see. I can probably say the same thing. We will talk about it next week with Dame Litter. But don't say anything.
I have thoughts on that too.
Yep.
I'm very strong feelings on Dame.
Yeah. So we can.
I have very strong feelings on Dame. So maybe we'll just have to swap our feelings.
Yeah. We'll just put that in the bank for next week. Save our thoughts and chew on it some more.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a good way to end that. All right, folks.
Turn it on Dame Lillard. I should have known you were going to do that.
Oh, man, the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State, back to K-State Sports here. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, K-State alums, Wildcat 919 alums. And real quick here before we sign, we have to mention this real quick. The Wildcat 919.
Oh, yes.
Best station, college station in the country. Hell yeah. Congratulations there to our current students for manhandling the radio station, student radio station. They've done an awesome job with that, and that's huge, man. That's huge. So being a part of that community there, we were both there at the same time. I graduated a year earlier than you graduated, after I did, something like that. I should know this by now. But yeah, we're there, both there at the same time, pretty much there. That's awesome. That was huge. So wanted to put that out there before we wrap this up.
You know what, Eddie? I'm going to second that. I was super pumped when I saw that news that they won best college radio station in the nation. Man, Eddie, they really deserve it. That radio station, why can't anyone not? I got to tell you what, Eddie. I don't want to sound like we're tooting our own horn or anything, but man, I gotta tell you, K-State is so lucky to have Wildcat 909. It is just an amazing radio station. It is like a professional station, man. It legitimately is like another professional station there. I mean, it is a professional station there in Manhattan. And so Manhattan's lucky to have them. And for them to get recognition for all that hard work that goes into the production, that you and I know, we know all the poor hard work that goes into the production of the Wild 99. But for that to be rewarded and to be recognized is something that's super special, is super deserved, and there is some tremendous talent on that Wild 99 roster right now, and they deserve the credit as well for what they've done, because that current batch of JMC students there. K-State are just knocking out of the park right now, and those walking 909 peeps are just doing great work. I know they had a great showing for KBs too, and a bunch of them won some awards there. So just great stuff, man. Great stuff. Super happy for them, and I'm again happy for the radio station. That the radio station got the recognition that it deserves. And someone who's no longer at K-State, he is retired, but I'll give Vern Werka, you know Vern Werka, Eddie. Give Vern a shout-out here, because he's retired, but he really, really kind of cut his teeth getting that radio station up the point that it's at now, and then he retired and handed the baton off, and they've just continued to run with it since he retired, but he really set that thing up into what it is now. Because it wasn't there at that level when he took over, and he really put them in a great spot. So shout out to Vern, who I'm sure won't hear this because he probably does not listen to the Pearl Project podcast, but that's okay. He still deserves a shout out for the work that he's done. But congrats to the Walk at 99. Congrats to all those students. Congrats to all the alums. Everyone has a piece in that.
Yes, we all have a piece in that, so definitely want to get that recognition out before we wrap the podcast. Sir, final thoughts, Alex, before we close out.
You know what, Eddie, final thoughts for me are just, I'll just, again, congrats to the Buck 99 on what they did. It's an exciting time to be a K-State fan, and to be a K-State student, be a K-State alum, be affiliated with K-State in any way. This has been a banner sports year. Big 12 championship in football and Elite Eight in basketball. Baseball is doing really good right now. And then Will Howard today, he went on the Royals pregame show, and he said that, it's different. This is different now. Like, this is our standard. Like, the old standard is gone at K-State. Like, this is the standard now, you know. Championships, deep NCAA tournament runs, winning consistently. Like, this is our expectation. This is the standard. It's, we're not settling for less. You know, we're just going to continue to get better than what we've done, and we want to make that clear. So, Ema to that, Will. I love it. Love hearing our starting quarterback saying that. That kind of gets back to that little quiet confidence I was telling you about, Eddie, that they just are carrying themselves with. They really have it. And so, it's a great time to be walk at, and going to be some good times here coming up in spring and summer.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are for sure. And Will Howard, wow. That's all I got to say for that as well. So definitely that quiet confidence leading into this year, obviously coming off the Big 12 championship. And we'll have a lot more preview, obviously, as I mentioned during this episode, going in to later on, carrying on in the rest of spring and into the summer for sure. So definitely be out on the lookout for that. All right, K-State Nation, that's going to wrap things up on another edition of the Pearl Project Podcast, weekly edition, episode 154. Will come out tomorrow night. So definitely be on the lookout for that. If you're listening to this, speaking in the future, appreciate you for doing that. If you're a first-time listener of this podcast, thank you for stopping by and giving us a listen. The next thing you have to do, if you enjoy what you're listening to, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Do all that fun stuff. Spread the word. Keep doing what you guys have been doing. We definitely, definitely appreciate it. And the numbers continue to prove why. So we're definitely grateful for that. The only K-State podcast that posts more daily content 5+ days a week there as well. So if you missed out on any dailies this week, definitely, this from this past week, I should say, definitely check that out. And be on the lookout for more dailies, more updates from the weekend of K-State Athletics. We'll get into the women's tennis and women's soccer and all that fun stuff as well. Well, that's going to do it on this edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly this week. Alex, was good. This was a good one. And we'll have to do this again. Well, we will do this again. Well, we'll do this again next week. There could be a special guest or could not. Just letting you know, putting that out there.
Cool. I look forward to Eddie, and I hope everybody has a great week.
Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!